service, but let's stand to our feet for the reading of the word. John 15, and we're going to read a little bit of John 16 as well. So we're going to start here. John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled which was written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Then in John 16, we're just going to read a couple verses here. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, God. As we read it, we stand to honor you and honor the truth in your word. God, I pray that your word would penetrate our hearts and our minds, that we would not be conformed to this world, but we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and that your word, which we just read, Lord, would impact us. It would not return void, and it would make an everlasting impact in our lives and in the lives of the people that are closest to us, God. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Okay, so I know we read chapter 15, like the rest of 15 and then a little bit of 16. So I don't know if y'all knew this, but this is something that I remember when I first became a Christian. I learned this and I was like, that's pretty interesting. So the word of God is inspired. It's God-breathed, but the chapter numbers and verse numbers are not necessarily. Okay, those were compiled and composed to make it helpful for us, right? So it's not like John was like, oh, John 3:16, that's going to be a good one. No, John just wrote a letter, right? And then we ended up putting numbers to it to kind of help us out. So as we read chapters and as you read chapters in your own reading, know that sometimes chapter 16 is going to have a little bit to do with chapter 15. All right. And sometimes those things are going to they're going to all correlate. Sometimes four chapters need to be kind of read together to understand the context. OK, and sometimes you could break it apart into little sections. So there's a lot of different ways to read scripture. But I wanted to tell you that today's sermon is not like a super feel-good one. So if you came in here discouraged, I'm just going to discourage you more. So hopefully you're all right with that. You know, like, I know that there's many pastors and preachers that they'll do whatever they can to make sure every time you walk out of here encouraged. And so I'll start out by just saying God loves you, right? Because that's encouraging. And that's true. And I have no qualms about that. God loves you. He cares for you. Like, God does not want to give, you know, bad gifts to his children. He wants to give good gifts to his children. He cares for us all deeply. But sometimes Jesus will just kind of tell the disciples things aren't going to be easy. And we're going to be preaching that sermon today. Things aren't going to be easy. And sometimes that's the most encouraging thing to hear, is when someone's honest with you, right? And just tells you it's going to be difficult. I know that there's a pastor that came to our last church. He wasn't our senior pastor. He was like a guest pastor that came in. And we're like, never heard of this guy. Don't know what he's all about. And he had a really strong southern accent, right? And he's like, kind of had that draw. And we're like, that's interesting. We're in San Diego, you know, and they bring in this pastor from the south. And I know I'm in the south. I got to tread carefully. But I remember one of the things he would say is, the rest of your life is the best of your life. And he was just like all about, like, you're going to live your best life. And your next 20 years are going to be your best years because God has prepared you for this moment, right? And he was like so all about us being encouraged and us being built up. And there is an aspect of that. That's true. God cares for you and he loves you. But at the same time, we got to be careful that that's not all we preach. And I just want to just give a little disclaimer here. That's why I preach through the Bible. Because I don't want it on my shoulders to be like, well, you know, do people need to be encouraged? I'm going to preach the encouraging message this week. And someone's like, maybe need something different. I'd rather just read through God's word and preach it and let the Lord do his thing the way that he does it, right? So today's sermon, if I were to like recap it real quick, Jesus gives us two reasons why people are going to hate us. Okay, fantastic, right? And then when they kill you, how they're going to justify killing you. Sounds great, right? So we're all going to walk out of here encouraged. Everything's going to be fantastic. But we're just going to jump right into this thing. In John 15, verse 18, it says, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Okay, so reason number one, people are going to hate you, right? You need to love these fill in the blanks. Is because we're not of this world. It's because we're not aligned with the world. Do you guys remember the not of this world sticker everyone would get on their car? They'd wear the shirts, they'd wear the hats and everything. I had one, right? Because when you become a Christian, you get the not of this world sticker, you stick it on the car. I had the fish, I had all the stuff. But the thing is that people don't hate you because of what you're for necessarily. They typically hate you because of what you stand against. Isn't that interesting? There's a lot more hate for what we stand against. I'm thinking of the things that Jesus was against. Jesus was against adultery. Jesus was against pride. He was against the religious superiority that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes had, right? He was against greed. And he stood against all these things. And it was part of the reason why so many people hated him, because people love the darkness and they love their sin and they love being in the things that they're into. So when you stand against it, you're attacking them and you're attacking their character, right? And really, it comes down to this. What is your worldview? Do you have a biblical worldview? We talked about this, I think, a little bit last week or 2 weeks ago. A biblical worldview is when you see the world and you see society through the lens of God's word, through the lens of Jesus Christ. And that's a very offensive worldview to have for many people. But it's what we are called to have as Christians. Like I said in my prayer, we're to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Having a biblical worldview. I have a student that used to be like just a very inquisitive student that was in my youth ministry. And eventually he kind of ended up walking away from the faith and deciding he didn't want to be a Christian anymore. And he really stood for some things he started asking some questions that were crossing some interesting lines. I remember grabbing coffee with him one time when he was like maybe in his early 20s. And I was talking to him about truth. And he's like, well, there's no truth. Like, truth is what you say that it is. In a different culture, they might believe something else is true that's different than what you believe is true. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. What about like morality? What about like what the difference between right and wrong? Is that different in different cultures? He's like, well, yeah. Some people think it's wrong to, you know, marry one person. And some people think it's wrong to marry more than one person. It just depends on what culture you're in. And I was like, that's interesting. So I started naming some things that are some really heinous sins, some terrible things that people have done. I'm like, is that wrong in every culture? And he's like, yeah, probably. I'm like, well, where did that come from? You know, we started having that question about morality. Like, and the thing is you start breaking down when people don't have a biblical worldview, everything's up for grabs, right? Truth is up for grabs. There's no truth. There's no absolute truth. There's no morality. There's no right and wrong. And you start opening up the door to complete chaos and madness. And what Jesus is trying to tell the disciples is you are choosing to have a biblical worldview. You're choosing to put your faith in me and see the world through my lens. And if you're going to do that, you're going to stand against many sins. And there's going to be people who are going to come against you. And they're going to hate you for it. They're going to absolutely hate you for it. When we were younger, I know we used to tell the kids not to say the word hate. Because it's a really like kind of abrasive word. Right? Don't say the word hate, you know, because it'd be like, oh man, I hate bananas. And it just kind of sounds gross when like a 3-year-old says it, you know, a 4-year-old says it. And then like Brianna and I though, then would sometimes break our own rules and we're like, gosh, I hate when that happens. And then Avery would be like, don't say hate. You know, she was only like 4. She's like, don't say hate. And we're like, oh man, she like thought it was like the worst word you could possibly say, you know? But it's interesting because right here in scripture, Jesus is using the word because he's saying that abrasiveness is going to be against you for you standing for me. And for you standing against the world. So the first reason people aren't going to like you and they're going to hate you is because you stand against certain things. Okay, and I think we all can see that in today's culture. there are certain things that are becoming more and more normalized in culture. As you're on social media, as you're in the workplace, more things that are sinful and perverse are becoming normalized. And we're having to say, no, I'm still going to stand my ground. Right? And that's why Ephesians says to stand. Therefore, stand. It's the last command in Ephesians is, therefore, stand. Because it's really hard to stand as the waves get bigger. It's easy when it's just like, can I use like a San Diego analogy? Is that okay? Are we going to get it? Because like Little Elm Lake doesn't really take you down, you know, as you stand on the shore. But, you know, as you stand there, the waves kind of hit you in the ankles. And you're like, I could stand here. And you go a little deeper and they start hitting you in the knees. You're like, I feel a little push now. But when you get waist deep, a wave can just take you out sometimes. It's really hard to stand as the culture gets more and more wicked. Jesus is saying the world is going to hate you. We have to stay firm and stand, right? The second reason is really interesting why the world's going to hate us. Let's go to John 15, verse 21, Elijah, on the slides. It says, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. This one's interesting. So the first one was they will hate you because of what you stand against, because we're not of this world. The second thing is they will hate you because they hate Jesus. They will hate you because they have a hatred actually for the person of Jesus. So as we associate with Jesus Christ, they're going to hate you. And it's kind of sad because you think about it. It's like God created us. Jesus was there in the beginning in creation. He created us for fellowship with him, to love him. And now people are hating us because we associate with our creator. It's kind of like a sad reality that we live in. And I kind of ask this question, what's more offensive, the things that Jesus says or the person who Jesus is? Or what's more offensive, the things that Jesus did or the person who Jesus is? Well, you can't really separate those things, can you? Jesus is a culmination of the things that he said and the things that he did and the person that he is. And that's true for all of us. You can't say, I like Mike, I just don't like the words that come out of his mouth. You can't really separate those things. And Jesus is kind of demonstrating that truth. Now, I can name some names right now, some cultural names, you know, some political names, and they're going to cause some, like, reactions internally, right? Like, if I say Joe Biden, okay, there's some things that happen in your heart and mind and stomach and brain, right? If I say Donald Trump, there's things that happen in you that you're like, oh, like some people get rubbed different ways if you say specific names. And I think it's interesting because, like, when you associate with a person, you're associating with everything that person is and who that person is. I'll say personally, I know a lot of people that are like diehard Trump people, and I'm like, cool, yeah. But at the same time, like, he's also done some things that are like a little rough. You know what I mean? And that's okay. But I don't want to get a Trump tattoo. I'm not a diehard. You know what I mean? Like, that's not my thing. Like, I think that there's like a certain thing that has to do with like associating 100% with a specific person. There was actually a guy who served in my youth ministry that wore a MAGA hat to church one time at our last church. And our last church is super, like, culturally, politically diverse. And then I remember it was like people were giving him, like, looks, and it was, like, really offensive that he was wearing it. Because, I mean, that's a really, really red hat. You know what I mean? It's bright. It stands out, right? This is not like a political speech. I don't ever want this to become, like, a political thing. I'm trying to help understand that if I were to walk in here with a MAGA hat on, you would be like, Mike supports Trump. He supports everything that Trump is. He likes the tweets that he posts, and he likes the decisions that he's made, and he likes how he handled the border crisis, and he likes how he handled it. Like, he likes everything about him. And so when you associate with Jesus, then you're associating with everything Jesus is, all the good and all the offense, all the things that people didn't like about Jesus during his time and all the things that people get offended about. You're saying, I associate with all those things. I am a Christian, right? I'm a Christian. That's who I am. And I think that, you know, if you look at this last verse, it's kind of interesting. Verse 25 said, this happened that the word might be, that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. So I'm like doing my research as a pastor, like, where's this verse located, you know? And it's like all throughout the Psalms. that David was hated without a cause. And it's interesting because David was in theological term, he was a type. It's called the type of Christ, right? So there were many people that were types. Like, for example, when you see almost like an archetype or a shadow of Christ to come. One of my favorites is like Joseph. Remember Joseph, like Old Testament Joseph? He was like, some people are like, oh, he was prideful. And he was like, oh, I got my robe. Check out my colorful robe, you know, like flexing to his brothers. I don't think he was. I just think he was like, hey, guys, I had a dream and it was crazy. And like he was just being honest with his brothers. And his dad loved him. I know what it's like to be the favorite kid. I didn't decide that. You know what I mean? That was on my parents to decide that, you know? At least my dad. I was my dad's favorite. But I like, he didn't get to choose that. And yet he gets beat up. He gets thrown into a pit. They come back with a bloody robe that was because they, like, gored a bull. And they're like, hey, dad, you know, your son was gored by a bull, you know, so he's dead. And they really sold him to slavery. And he was, like, put in prison and kept in there for a long time. And then, you know, like, you guys know the story. He was so destroyed and distraught and treated so poorly without a cause. But then there was a purpose. Whether or not there was a deserving cause for why it happened, there was a purpose for why it happened. And you get to see all these types of Christ that will come. And they were all, not all, but many of them were afflicted and were hated without a cause. And I think that that's something that many of us are going to have to associate with in our lives. I know I've been through that. It's really a terrible thing to feel. I had somebody tell me, like, after knowing me for like a year, like, hey, man, I have to apologize to you for something. I'm like, yeah, what is it? And he said, he's like, I don't know why when I met you, I just didn't like you. And I'm like, oh, yeah, like, elaborate, please. He's like, I don't know what it was, just something about you. Like, your hair is always gelled and, like, you always just look like this guy, you know, like one of those guys I just wouldn't like. But now that I've gotten to know you, I think you're a nice guy. I'm like, thanks. I didn't know what to do with it, you know. But it's true. Oftentimes we're going to have to go through that. And I'm talking like, this is like elementary. We live in America. It's not like we're persecuted to these crazy levels and degrees for our faith. But yet we still are going to have to go through these times and these trials where we're unjustly treated, right, for our faith. So Jesus is giving us a warning about that. He's trying to kind of prep us for this because this is going to be a difficult journey being a Christian, truly being a Christian. And I'm telling you, the deeper you go, the more you put your faith in Jesus, the more you learn, the more you serve, the more you die to yourself, the harder it gets. And the more people start to come against you. It's a difficult journey. And the Lord is saying, this is going to happen. And then he comes to encourage us a little bit in verse 26. He says this. He says, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from my Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So he's giving us this little bit of encouragement here. He's like, the Holy Spirit will be with you and he's going to testify of the truth. And you're going to have this Helper with you. It's not like you're going to do it alone. You're not going to be solo. It's going to be a really difficult thing and people are going to hate you, but you won't be alone in it. And then in verse 16, this is where, or chapter 16, verse 1, this is where it correlates, Elijah. If you can go to the next slide, it says this. This is like the reason he says all this to us. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. Okay, so Jesus is trying to kind of sum everything up. He's like, I'm telling you about the hate. I'm telling you about the persecution. I'm telling you about all the difficulty that you're going to go through. I went through it. They didn't like me. They're not going to like you. You stand against many things they believe in, so they're going to hate you for it. They're going to hate you because you associate with me. It's going to be a difficult journey for you guys. I'm just being honest with you. But the Holy Spirit's going to be there, and I'm telling you all these things because when you have tendency to doubt, and when you're struggling, and when you're saying, how come nothing I'm doing is working? How come everybody hates me and everybody's against me? He's trying to let us know, stay the course. Stand firm. You're doing what I've called you to do. You're standing against the world and you're standing for me. So keep doing it. Keep pressing in. You didn't get into this because you wanted more friends. You didn't get into this because it's a popularity contest or because you want success and fame. You got into this because you're submitting your life to me and you're doing my will. So keep it up. Keep going. Don't give up. And then Jesus drops this bomb, which I think is like it's not funny at all, but in context, it's kind of funny because he's like, they're going to hate you and it's going to be difficult. And then whoever kills you is going to try to justify it. But then he like moves on. It's like, wait, what? Can you say that part again? Like, what? They're going to want to kill me? And like, I almost think it's like, you know, we're doing this love your neighbor thing. And if I were to be like, hey guys, let's have a pre-meeting. We're going to go into downtown McKinney and we're going to sweep up. We're going to clean outside these businesses. You know, bring your broom. Don't forget to bring your broom. Bring some gloves if you want to. Trash bags. We're going to have, you know, trash bags available for you guys. We're going to be cleaning outside of these few places. Some of the business owners aren't too keen for us to be there. So like, if they kill you, they're going to try to justify it. But like, whatever. Like, and then we move on. It's like, wait, what did you just say? Like, it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And, you know, but Jesus is trying to help them understand this is where you're headed. And he's being very forthright. He's not pulling any punches at this point because he knows he's going to the cross and he knows that they're going to have to deal with some really, really painful stuff. And so I know, like I said, this isn't going to be one of those like feel-good messages. It's really not. This is kind of one of those truth messages that just we have to kind of receive and take in and realize that when we do things for God's kingdom, it's going to be a difficult journey. It's going to be painful. It's going to be a tough process. It's hard to raise your kids up to serve the Lord. It's hard to have a biblical, healthy marriage. It's hard to love people and serve them and care for them and read God's word and teach it and be available to preach the gospel to somebody who doesn't know Jesus. That's a lot. It's a heavy load. And we're going to get opposition because of it. And I just want to encourage you all, Christianity is not easy. It's just by nature, that's not what it's intended to be. It's just not. I think our culture has created Christianity to be like, get dressed up, look cute, show up on Sunday, have your spot, you know, get your really good coffee, and then go out and get lunch together. That's beautiful. That's great. That's like a great community club. That's a great social club. But like Christianity is meant to be like a really burdensome, difficult thing that we carry for the sake of Jesus Christ. That's the doctrine of suffering, not the doctrine of prosperity. Right? God wants to prosper us, but many times when he's prospering us in scripture, it's for God's glory, not ours. Or it's for eternal, some sort of eternal reward we're going to get and not some temporal reward. It's something we're going to get once we die and we're with him in his glory. So that doesn't mean like, I don't want you to throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, God doesn't care for me, doesn't want me to have good things. Like, no, God cares for you and he loves you. But at the same time, he also has created us for fellowship with him and to glorify him. Like, I almost think it's like, you know, I did jiu-jitsu a little bit when I grew up, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I did like submission wrestling. I did wrestling in high school and all that. So I was like really into it. And if someone was like, if one of the kids in here came up to me and were like, hey, should I do jiu-jitsu? I wouldn't be like, yeah, it's super easy. Like, it's just fun and you make good friends and then you're just going to love it. No, it's like, you got to be willing to like really fight and it's really hard, you know? And like, there were days when I had like almost a black eye, like completely my forehead's all scraped from the mat, you know, and I just look terrible for the next week because I'm just all messed up, scraped. My brother-in-law or my stepbrother did jiu-jitsu for a while. And when you go from white belt to blue belt, because anyone can get a white belt, you can go buy one from Walmart, right? But you can't get a blue belt without earning it. They would actually like put you in a sleeper hold and make you fall asleep. They'd choke you out. They're like, cool, now you've earned your blue belt. I mean, they made you train. Once you're at the level, they want to, like, this is the worst case scenario. You go to sleep. Big deal, right? So like, it's really hard work, but I would rather tell somebody how hard it's going to be and let them willingly walk into it than be surprised by the difficulty of it. You come to me and you say, hey, I want to get married. I'm not going to be like, sweet, it's just going to be the best. You're going to love it. Everything's going to be so easy and sweet and cute. And like, you know, the dates you go on, they're going to be even better. Everything's just going to be fantastic. Like, no, it's going to be difficult. The reality is it's going to be difficult. Yeah, is there like incredible blessing associated with it? Yes. But I'm going to tell you how hard it's going to be. And I'm going to tell you how much you're going to need to die in order to keep a good marriage. Oh, I want to have kids. It's going to be cute. I want accessory. I want to dress them up. I want to put the little Vans on them, you know? Cute. That's great. But are you ready to like not sleep for a while? Are you ready to, like, you know, go through all the trials and all the difficult and worry about your kids when they're, you know, at their friend's house? Are you ready to go through every difficult thing that you have to go through as a parent? Or do you want a cute accessory? Because if you do, get a Yorkie. You know what I mean? Like, get a Chihuahua pushing around in the stroller or whatever. Like, get a cute purse to match its collar or whatever. But, like, don't have a kid if you're not ready to walk into the difficulty. And I want to tell you right now, when it comes to being a follower of Jesus Christ, be ready. Like, let's recognize that it's not going to be a walk in the park. There's difficulty associated with it. There's persecution. There's trials. And if you're in, let's be in, right? Let's be all in. Let's do this thing. But if you're not in, that's okay. Keep showing up. The Lord's going to work in and through your life and deepen you and grow you. I'm not saying get out of our church if you're not all in, like get out right now. No, but at the same time, God's calling us to a higher level. And he's saying, this is going to be hard. So let's go. Let's do this thing. Let's go all in. And I'm telling you, as our church starts to serve in the community, we're going to feel it. We're going to feel the weight of it. We're going to feel the spiritual weight of it. I heard pastors say, new levels, new devils, right? That was one of those like rhymey little quips. It's true though. New levels, new devils. It's going to get more difficult. So let's be all in. Let's do this thing. It's not going to be easy, but let's know that it's for the sake of Jesus Christ and he won't let us down. He's going to be with us every step of the way. His spirit will be with us to remind us, to encourage us, to teach us all things, remind us all things, to empower us every single step of the way. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word. That Lord, your word doesn't lie to us. Your word doesn't hide essential information from us. Lord, I was a youth pastor. I tricked kids into showing up to get pizza. Lord, that's not what your word does. Your word is true. Your word sometimes gives us the sugar, the sweetness that we need when we're down. And sometimes gives us the salt that we need to heal the wound. And it burns. And God, we need both. And I'm just so grateful that your spirit, that your son, or that you, the Father, God, that there's just this alignment, there's this truth that brings us into alignment. So when we go off, when we're prone to wander, as we know that we are, Lord, you bring us back. And God, as we head into seasons, Lord, where we step into more ministry and more service, and we begin to love the people who live in the community around us in a deeper, more intimate way, God, we know that the persecution is going to come, the trials are going to come. But God, we thank you that your spirit is with us and that we live for your glory, not our own. And so, Father, I pray that you would use us. You would use us mightily to serve your people and to bring you glory, and that we would stand firm against the attack of the enemy, against the wickedness of this world, and we would stand unashamedly for Jesus Christ. God, we love you. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Be encouraged. I'll see y'all.